Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
After a big win, Packers return to practice. Today, we'll see if Jordan Love is part of it. We'll talk about that with Tausch and Brian Blog, Iowa, and the crew. Edition. Can Josh Jacobs carry the ball 30 times a game, every game? I was talking to Dorsey Levins about this. That's a different era style of running back. Very curious to see if they can go old school with him. Edition. And the most important thing we have to talk about today, Usher George's proud son going down Bernie Slide edition. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is at least till 10:15. Do you got another slide date or something?
Nah, full three today for you, Jason. Full three. Now, I don't know. Old T might have
Friday?
Something else going on, but I'm good till noon today.
All right, well, we appreciate you sticking around in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, two time zones away, he is not just the Packers Hall of Famer, he is also of a Californian. What are you doing there? He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jason. Beautiful. Beautiful morning out here in California. You got a good vista today. For everybody that's not on YouTube, you should check it out. It's a beautiful vista. And I'm probably going to get disrupted by different things at some point today, but not right now, not at 7.
Well, what does that mean? I'm having some technical issues.
No, there's
so I haven't seen your vista yet.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. there's different trees getting moved, and it's just a... It's a beautiful spot.
Trees getting moved?
You're doing the show from a construction area?
Maybe. A matter of fact,
Johnson and Sons Paving expanding California.
Would you let me finish? Yes.
Sorry.
Johnson and Sons put me on an internship program, and I'm looking at finding different parking lots to pave.
You said you were recruiting.
And I'm not going to lie to you. We found a beauty. And they're out there. They're laying down some crushed rock right now, a little gravel to see where we're at. And then we're going to determine if we need to grade that out and then put some asphalt down. That's what we're doing.
Sweet pergola, bro. That's awesome. All right. So you're in California.
Mm-hmm.
We are in... Yeah, here I am. Yeah, a little bit of technical glitches there. That's on me. So,
body beautiful. What was that from yesterday?
Jason's really weird article that he wrote, like admiring some dude's body, which is a weird deal. I don't know what he was doing, but that's what happened.
All right. Well, before we get to Bernie Slide over here, who went down the slide, is this Well, let me ask you this first. Is it all over social media? Because I have been, I had a lot of stuff going on this morning myself. I wasn't moving trees and grading out land in California, but I had a few things going on. Is it all over social media? Are you like, have you gone viral yet?
No.
You didn't break your arm.
No, so I opted not to do a selfie-style video going down the slide. I wanted to...
Humility.
I was scared I was going to drop my phone. But also, I wanted to just kind of enjoy the ride down. So someone else has the video, and we'll be working to get the video and get that all secured and shared. But I took some still photos and everything. But some people, the Kyle Bruston Nortman crew in the afternoon, they all went selfie style down the slide. It was pretty funny. They shared their reactions yesterday. Kyle's by far the best. He was a little intimidated, I think, by the slide at first. And then at the end, it wasn't that bad. But it was a lot of fun. So a lot of our ESPN Milwaukee team got to go. Hunter Vaughn and Riley Houck made the trip down with me from Madison to go down the slide. It was a lot of fun for us to be able to do. So I appreciate Ryan Wollersheim, first and foremost, stepping into take the seat in here yesterday so that we could go do that. And it was totally worthwhile and a ton of fun.
The single sommelier who did not, in fact, find companionship for his extra ticket to the Badgers volleyball game.
Tough for Wooly.
I'm sure that'll come up at some point. I cannot watch you go down the slide. We can't put it on the YouTube feed. It's not on any of our social media channels. Is that what you're telling me?
At this juncture, it is not. It will be. I was kind of hoping they would clinch the division last night, and that it would be we could put up a celebratory slide down when they clinch the division. So maybe that'll happen tonight, and I'll have the video at that point.
Did you put your arms up like Mark Murphy down the tubing hill?
I don't remember what I did with my arms,
Maddie. I'm not sure. I don't know what to do with my hands, Maddie. If it's possible, give a side by side when you post. I'm assuming Maddie will be posting it. If she's not,
she's in charge of it. Yeah.
Do a side by side of Jesse and Mark Murphy.
So I did stick the landing very well because you go down and then you go around and then you come down on the podium and you slide into the padded wall where that dude broke his ribs from the Dodgers broadcast a couple of years ago. Yeah, whatever he did. I still don't understand how he did it. It was very easy to stick the landing. So they said, make sure you bend
for an athlete like you.
Make sure you bend your knees so that you don't go like straight on into it because you come in with a little bit of force and you don't want to shatter anything. So I stuck that perfectly. Kind of had one foot just up against the wall.
Is there a cushion in the bottom?
Very natural.
Of that? Is there a cushion, or what is this?
It's a padded wall, so it's like, you know, in a high school gym, like when you go in for a layup and you get pushed into the pad. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
But the ground is hard at the bottom of the slide, or is that padded too?
It's not soft, I would say. It's not like a hardwood floor, but
soft.
It's somewhat padded, I would say. Like it's not fully. It's not like you're on a trampoline or like standing on a pillow by any means, but it's not hard.
Do you think your incredible 1 month weight loss cost you velocity, or do you think it allowed you to be more nimble as you reach the end of Bernie's slide?
So some people said it was faster than they expected it to be. It was actually slower than I expected it to be.
Should have greased it up.
I thought coming around the course.
Crisco.
I felt dumb because I wore long pants yesterday because I remember someone saying many years ago, wear long pants to do it so your legs don't get torn up. This was like, again, a decade ago. They give you a little like burlap thing to sit on now like you're at the state fair going down the slide. So I didn't even need the long pants. I was just hot all day. But you come around the corner and you kind of got like you're sitting on this thing and it's kind of feels like you're doing the bobsled or the skeleton for at the Winter Olympics because it's a very wide like the tube of the slide is taller than you might think, so you're pretty secured in there. And you come around and you kind of hit that corner and it's a big turn to come around the corner. It picks up momentum for sure, but I thought it was slower than I expected it to be. I thought I'd be coming in with a lot of gas as you get to the podium. And that didn't happen as much, but it was a lot of fun.
Last question for me as we interview Jesse Nelson, Bernie's slide expert. And what did you say? I stuck the landing perfectly.
Oh, nailed it.
Um, given the importance that your parents hold, both in terms of Georgia's lengthy history at that stadium and you expecting them to stay home from their trip for your birthday, for longtime listeners who recall that, I'm curious, did they come along? Were they there to support you? Were they there at the bottom
did
of the slide?
Did Mama have
to catch
a juice
you?
Box and some orange slices for and Jesse when he finished?
Some Band-Aids in case you hurt yourself?
No,
ice pack.
They were not invited. There was no gallery invited to enjoy the experience with us. So as long as someone had the video of me going down, that's what I wanted to make sure. And so I'll be able to share that with them and with everybody on our social platforms and whatnot coming up. So no,
it's
they
so
were
funny
they
to
were
me
not
about
there.
That, Jesse. You always are saying video this, and then you go do this, and you don't even video it.
Incredible.
Someone else was videoing it. I just didn't get it yet.
But should put like a GoPro on then.
You
or
act
something.
Like you were going down like some monster roller coaster.
Yeah,
you're a 32-year-old dude. Put your phone up. Get your woo! Like I guarantee you, are like Homer Simpson when you're going down there. Woohoo! And
it's probably
arms
pretty
up.
Close. Yeah,
that's how it would have been. It would have been fine. You could have posted it from your channels. We would have done that.
Right.
And instead, you're like, somebody else will do it. So I guess we shouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I delegated.
I'm surprised you didn't have somebody else slide for you.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
That's rude. I will work to get the video before we sign off at noon today so that we can share it. Maybe we'll do a digi-only viewing the video at some point today if I can track that down. So
okay, that's not a bad idea. I still don't understand how you knew this was where we were going to... You left the show... to do it. So
yes,
everyone who listens to the show knew you were doing it. We were looking forward to the report. Yeah, I can't believe you didn't do the rundown. You got Lloyd on IR.
Yeah, I wanted
as
to talk about Marshawn
today.
Lloyd. There was a fan at the Kohl Center last night at the volleyball. He held the door for me open as we were walking in. He goes, "Yeah, how was the slide?" It was awesome. Like I was it was amazing, and I didn't remember what the guy's name was. I'm sorry. I didn't ask him.
Dynamite. Way to go.
But you're right. The fans
Man
cared.
Of the people.
The fans cared. No, it was.
The fans
was,
cared enough, and Jesse cared enough to not video.
Someone else has the video. Yeah,
Why didn't they just text it to you?
There were like 75 people there doing this with our entire company at this point. So I'm sorry. The video has been lost in the sauce. I will get the video. It just wasn't top priority,
lost
I guess, yesterday.
I've never heard that one. That's a new one for me.
Never mind. It's not bad.
It is not bad. All right. Well, we look forward to a digi only. Probably by Friday.
Somebody should break that down. Yeah, that might be something like a sliders only. You and Brust and Nortman, you guys all get together and do it. Like you
only.
You guys sit and break down the film of your slide.
Oh,
sounds like batting practice for a high school team. All right, kids, only sliders today. Let's see how well you can hit them.
You guys can eat little tiny hamburgers while you're watching.
I do like
sliders.
The idea of embargoing the video until the Brewers have clinched the division title, which could be by 4 p.m. this afternoon.
What are you, Iran?
Who are you punishing?
What the hell is going on here?
It's going to put a tariff on it.
Is there a negative connotation with embargo? I like that word.
It depends if you're the embargoer or the embargoee. I guess.
All right. I really do want to get to my Body Beautiful story. So we will do that. And leading into Brian Bulaga, we will do that story because, all kidding aside, I think the Eric Wilson story is a really good story because, on a team full of young guys, here's this eighth year veteran who is supposed to just be a special teams guy who is doing important things and giving them a veteran on a very young team, and he does have value. And, I mean, he is. He looks like he's chiseled out of granite. And speaking of which, I didn't nickname him Body Beautiful.
You keep talking in very specific terms what he looks like.
Well, I will say this. It would be nice to look like him, but I don't have the work ethic or the discipline.
That ship has sailed. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I know somebody else's ship who's also sailed.
I'm not sitting here. I'm not enamored by it and like can't stop talking about it.
I can't stop talking about it. I'm going to stop talking about it right now.
I feel like Walter Cronkite this morning.
And that's the way it is.
And this
in
is
California.
The Pella windows and doors of Wisconsin. They are the window and door equivalent of hitting for the cycle, of going down the slide without busting. That's what they do. Pella manufactures all of their own products. Each one of those products gets tested thousands of times to ensure that it withstands the test of time. And quality craftsmanship and innovative design are built into every Pella product for timeless beauty and performance. Order up by September 30th. Get as low as $18 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. And as Gina always says, certain restrictions do apply.
Speaking of body beautiful, I'm just saying. We will get to Eric Wilson next. It's Wilty and Tausch.
This is Wilty and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Slow down on Monday.
I don't want to be Johnny Journalism here. Big J Journalism, as you like to say. But here's one of the things that I just want to explain how my part, that part of my job works. And it dovetails beautifully with this radio show because, you know, like Homer always says, everything he does is basically prep for his show. Everything I do at Lambeau is prep for the show. We are a Packers-centric program. And the nonsense that we sometimes discuss. But when I'm looking for angles to write about, and Matt LaFleur tells us that Rich Bisaccia has nicknamed Eric Wilson Body Beautiful, which is not a, you know, we make fun of like Rodgers for his nicknames, right? Or the way they're just so lazy. Strophy, Tausch, Cliffy, nothing creative about any of those. So when you hear body beautiful, and you do see a guy who, in my personal opinion, is the most one of the most cut-up dudes I have seen in the locker room. Like, I'm not being whatever. He just, there are guys that are in great shape.
You're not being whatever. But, man, what a sculpted Adonis.
I did use, thanks for reading. Oh, I did use Adonis in the story. So it's good to know that you're reading. Tausch, my question is not about his physique, although you may think I'm obsessed by it. How important is a guy like him? Because this is an extreme, stop laughing at me, you big jerk. This is a very young team. And he is a guy that I would think that someone like you would really like, because you busted your ass to build the career you did.
Can you say that?
I can, yeah.
Oh, okay.
As long as I'm not saying that my urine is hot and a few other things, I think I'm okay. But you worked your tail off, if that's better, to have the career that you had. You were not, you know, you weren't gifted with the talent of Charles Woodson. You had talent, but not that level, right? You're not Aaron Rodgers. And Eric Wilson in 2020 for Mike Zimmer with the Vikings led the Vikings in tackles. He had like 3 interceptions, 3.5 sacks. He was a good player for them. And then, as this league can be, guys get drafted, you get cut loose, you bounce around. He was with 2 teams in the same season in 21. But now he's found a niche on this team in his 3rd year, and teams need guys like him, don't they?
They do, and it's kind of the irritating part of the NFL, because here you have somebody that just keeps being incredibly productive but doesn't have the measurables or doesn't have the pedigree that some of these other guys have. And it, you know, it goes back to the one of my favorite quotes, which is, you know, first round picks have to keep proving that they don't belong, and, you know, late picks and undrafted guys have to continue to prove they do. And you won't want it any other way from that perspective, because he knows he's a good player and he's proven it over and over. And the league is so – it's such a battle for coaches and GMs to fight the potential of what might be to what actually is. And do you think that you're going to consistently get that better? And that's why it's important to have, in my opinion – a coach and a general manager, because the coaches will always go with the Wilsons because they sleep at night. They know what they're going to get. And even if things deteriorate a little bit, you keep him because you have that relationship and you know what you're going to, you know, he's given you everything you got. I love seeing guys like this that are as productive as they are. And it's just, I would bet because he's been through it, cut, getting cut, told he can't make it. I would bet his perspective will really resonate through a locker room. And if I was any of these young guys, and the it's changed. If I'm Edgerrin Cooper, if I'm, you know, any of these young players, even Quay, I'm picking this guy's brain because you always are looking, how did you, how are you carving out this career? What are you doing? How are you pulling this off? Because that's how you last, even if you're a high pick. Because let me tell you something, Quay Walker is going to find out real quick that, yeah, it's great that you have that pedigree, but if I got to pay you and I'm not really seeing the production, I might bridge and go another year here and let these younger guys develop. That's this process of the NFL. And I love it when somebody is a lifer that can withstand it and move forward in a, especially in a program like Green Bay, where they're always looking to get younger, cheaper and faster and more athletic. He has kind of been that outlier. How many guys, you know, Preston Smith and him, like, those are your outliers. Right. And Preston Smith has all the physical skills you're ever looking for, and he mixed that with the work ethic and the team being a team guy. That's it's getting rarer and rarer for guys to get to have these kind of careers of 8 to 10 to 12 years, especially here in Green Bay under Brian Gutekunst.
And look, let's be honest. Eric Wilson should not be doing this. They drafted Edgerrin Cooper. They drafted Tyron Hopper in the second and third rounds,
respectively.
And the fact that he not only held them off during training camp, like I did a story on him in the first week that he was still running with the ones a week and a half into camp. Now he's still running with the ones, and the season is 2 games old. So that's part of it. I would also say this, that if you're the other thing that I'm fascinated about with the NFL, and you've told the story a million times, I might make you tell it again, but the fact that, you know, here's this baby-faced kid out of Wisconsin, the seventh-round pick, and Raleigh McKenzie, who is fighting for his own career to continue in Green Bay, right? There was no guarantee he was going to make that team in 2000, and he's still helping you. And Eric Wilson is doing the same for two guys who were drafted to replace him.
Yeah, it's
why
it's
is
a,
that?
It's a really because football is a team game, and yes, you don't want to win the job or keep a job because somebody else is inept and not learning. I guess just for me, I came in there with, you know, as a rookie, and my whole goal was I'm making this team. Come hell or high water, I'm going to make this team. And I didn't know. I, you know, we came from obviously the Badgers. We ran the ball like the Packers did the other night. It was, you know, you don't throw it. And I, there was a lot of stuff I didn't know. And I lined up next to Raleigh McKenzie. And there were times I didn't know if it was a pass or a run. The first mini camp, I'm thinking. So I'd ask him, and it always stuck with me. You know, both him and Joey Andruzzi and Frankie, all these veteran guys that. You knew there's only 9 or 10 spots, and the way they treated me and helped me, I was always going to pass up. Now, that did not mean that I wanted so-and-so to beat me out, just like I'm sure Raleigh thought, well, he's playing tackle. Raleigh was not looking at it from that. Raleigh was looking at it, if I play my game, I'm going to be on this team. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But when you try to establish a culture, this is what you need to establish. You need to have guys that are going to compete their tails off and not give an inch, but also not be jerk stores and say, I'm not going to help. Because the O-line, unlike a lot of other positions, it's not about the individual. It is about the group. And I could do everything right. If I'm, if I got a backside B block and Marco Rivera doesn't do his job, I can't execute my job. So you have to go through that whole process, and you don't need to be a jerk. You can be a competitive SOB and still help the young guys come along, because you in your own mind should think, I'm good enough or I'm better than what they're going to put out there with this guy. I know I can do that. If you don't have that mindset, you're not going to make it in this league anyways.
Last thing on Eric Wilson, and to defend me, the quote from Matt LaFleur after he told us about Body Beautiful. He's very regimented in terms of his approach. You don't look like that if you're not disciplined. So it is a component of who he is, as much as, yes, the I think the line was sculpted Adonis-like physique that got you in this morning story.
I give him a ton of credit. I think obviously you can say, well, he looks the part, or he's a guy you want first guy off the bus. It's just, it feels from a sports coverage, I don't have any problem. If you guys want to stare at his body and talk about it, you do your thing, man. You guys do your thing. I'm not getting into that game. I only care about the production part of it and the storylines to it, because I can assure you, Big J people, that if this was in another sport, other genders, I don't think we're going to be having this conversation. If we want to sit here and preach all this other stuff, I just find this story very hypocritical. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I will just add this. If you were to ask me the defining quality before LaFleur said this after the game, that you ask me about Eric Wilson, the first thing I would have said was, we can't have him on the show, because when we talk, and he's a great talker, but there is a high, high percentage of F-word usage. So I think he'd be a great guest on like a Digi Only. Okay. That would have been the first thing I would have mentioned.
We'll get him in a Players Only. We'll see if he can get mic'd up on the sideline.
There you go. I like it. All right. You look, again,
well,
I'm not...
Well, and by the way, if you're doing that and you're saying all this, the play that he made in that game, I don't give a rip what he looks like. That play was
In the story too.
Yeah, I hate to tell you this, I didn't read the story. Not yet. I'll get to it.
What, did somebody tell you about the Adonis thing?
Say ripped and sculpted and chiseled,
okay, well, like, it's definitely
that's what typically would come to mind when you're talking about the great Eric Wilson.
You're an Adonis. Any woman would be lucky to be with you, Uncle Leo. All right, so you look like you're at a winery or wine country.
Is that right?
I don't know what the foliage behind you. I haven't zoomed in, but those look like maybe grapes and the grapes of wrath. Maybe not. Maybe that's just a hedge. But if you are at a winery, you have to, in honor of Tito Beverage, you have to say when the sommelier comes up, pour me in, coach.
Tito's handmade vodka on game day or on Wednesday. Pour me in, coach. Chiseled or not. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody, salt the rim of a Tito Rita, or take home the win with a Tito's. And it doesn't matter what you mix with it. Soda, cranberry, water, fig. What about fig? I think fig is one of the most underrated fruits on earth. The fig.
The new.
Trust me. You're calling the game. You change up your roster or wash that lucky jersey. As long as you make Tito's your first round bottle pick. Whose house? Oh, it's Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
You say that like you've had a fig take before.
I have.
He has.
Fig Newtons, but
he's pro-pig. He's pro-fig.
And pig. I'm just pig. Talking like a straight-up fig. I think people look at the fig and they get a little freaked out by it. The fig.
What does a fig even look like?
It's like it almost looks like a really small peach. And it's got black. It's black on the outside, and then you cut it, and it's like got a grapefruit vibe to it.
Dates,
but it's not grapefruit at all.
Are dates also underrated, or fig?
I love a good date. I'm more of a fig guy than a date guy.
I was hoping Wooly would have a date last night, but that didn't happen either. We'll get to that a little bit later in the program. Instead, Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear next.
This is John Audius, Wisconsin Badgers volleyball play-by-play broadcaster. You're listening to 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, Madison's new home for Wisconsin Badgers volleyball.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city where
friends. Yeah, I do.
I gotta say, this is my favorite Brian Bulaga. So he's a great cousin sub of the day. Like, and Lord knows we need them.
Yeah, we do.
And he's so good. When we have him for 3 hours, it's great. When he's with Homer on the Homer Hour, outstanding. Now, when I join, it's a little, you know, Homer does this whole thing about the doctor, and he doesn't have his degree. Talk about needling. At least he doesn't bring up Bruce Irvin. But I like our interplay there. But Homer then says he's not going to be part of it, and then he butts in, and it's a whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here, we put together the two, I would say, behind, you know, Forrest Gregg, the two best right tackles in Packers history. And they talk to each other, and I try to stay out of the way as best I can. It is Brian Bulaga, AWA. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are great. Does it look, when you look at where Tausch is, what does it look like to you?
Well, I mean, based on the sky, I've seen that sky a lot. So that looks like West Coast sky to me. And I know mornings like that because my wife and I just anniversaried out there for our 10-year anniversary last year, and it looks like a Napa morning sky. If
wow.
I had to take a guess.
Interesting. You are incorrect, but you're, I'll say you're adjacent. You're adjacent.
Napa adjacent.
You'd be Napa adjacent, yes.
So what are you, in Sonoma?
You might be right. That could be, yes.
Okay.
That is
where in the world is Mark Tauscher?
That is Napa adjacent, isn't it, Blue?
Okay. I thought it would be, but I don't know.
Hey, so when you were out here, do you love figs? Because I'm a fig guy.
Oh, jeez. I take back everything I just said about having the two of you together.
I don't think I had any, and I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I can't say that it's like something that I enjoyed to
thought
eat,
about.
Or I can't remember the last time.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time I had one, to be dead honest with you. Like,
But Blue, you're a charcuterie guy. I guarantee you, when you were out here with Abby having wine and sitting back relaxing, you're telling me Big Blue didn't get a charcuterie board?
Oh, we did, for sure. I mean,
yeah, and there's figs on charcuterie, yeah.
Yeah, of course there is. I mean, I don't know if I ate. I can't remember. I mean, listen, when you're in Napa, you're consuming. I mean, you're consuming.
That's true.
And you're enjoying the atmosphere. You're enjoying. I mean, I was enjoying the company of my amazing wife and beautiful weather. So, you know, I don't remember if I ate any figs on that particular day when there was that charcuterie board out. So,
yeah,
I
charcuterie.
Though, I certainly could have.
Nah. Do you just want to say charcuterie a whole bunch of times?
I do love saying charcuterie. I do enjoy saying charcuterie. I do.
And I didn't realize I tuned into the food channel.
I missed the show on Monday. Blue, thanks for filling in. Where do you want to start with Brian this morning?
Here's where I want to start, because you both dealt with injuries during your career. But you both played. You played through a lot of injuries, certainly. But you also played with guys that maybe had. And this was where Jesse apparently wanted to start the show instead of him going down Bernie's slide. But maybe that's because he didn't have the video of it. When you look at Marshawn Lloyd's rookie season so far, he starts camp unable to participate because of a hip injury. Goes to Denver, hurts his hamstring. Now he's on injured reserve, gets a little opportunity on Sunday. Now he's got an ankle injury. I don't want to be judging him as injury prone when he is just starting his career. Maybe he's just got bad luck. But when you see this kind of thing happen to a young player, Brian, what is your advice to a guy like that? Because I have heard coaches say, and you guys back them up on this or say they're crazy, I have heard coaches say that it takes players a while to figure out how to take care of their bodies at the NFL level so they are available, and that is a process of learning for certain players. Is he just unlucky? Is he need to learn that? How do you view this, Brian?
So with this, I think this is a great example of the draft industrial complex and what this whole thing goes through. Because, you know, here Lloyd is, he's playing college ball, boom. Then you go to do all-star games. Then you're training for the combine. Then you get thrown right in. Mm-hmm. And if you're not dialed in and really have your program in place, it is a lot, and especially at running back. So do guys learn what they need to do? Absolutely. Do people have it figured out like Eric Wilson right away? No. You get to the spot, and that's why it's, I think, really important to find somebody. And I always just look for, dude, that dude's been in the league 10 years. How'd he do it? And you pick those guys' brains. But that first year is really hard because there's no break. You go, and then you get to the spot, and then you're trying to figure things out mentally, and then you're trying to figure out physically. And the stuff can – if you're not really dialed into it, you're going to have stuff like this. And that's not – that's taking out bad luck and anything mm-hmm. else. But when you start talking soft tissue and everything else, that's typically overuse, or you haven't trained in the right way and something can happen. So I look at this more as this is part of being a rookie in the NFL, and you hope most of your guys don't have to go through it, and you're young enough that you can kind of power through. But I think with Lloyd, he's just constantly chasing. And once one thing happens, you're rehabbing that, something else gets overused. And then that once you start feeling like this thing is healed up, something else flares up. And then that goes, and I think that's kind of the cycle that he's in.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you hit it on the head. Like, they get done with college, then they go right to these senior bowls or whatever games they play. And, like, that workload alone is a ton, because that week that they're playing and practicing, like, you know, they're going a million miles an hour. All the NFL coaches are there. The scouts are there. So they're trying to show out. Then they go to the combine. And that whole training process up to a combine, then the combine in itself, it is like stress ball city. And there is so much that you're trying to process and make sure you're ready for and to go through. And then to go out there and perform. And then you get a little break, but you're not taking a break. You're going to wherever you are at and training hard and trying to get your body ready. Then there's the draft, and then bang, you're flying out to your city and you're starting rookie mini camp almost immediately. So, like, Tausch is right. There's no break from your last college game to once you get to your NFL team. And, you know, it's hard to say, like, an ankle injury is him not taking care of himself. Like, I don't think that's mm-hmm. like that to me. Like, that is unlucky. Like, listen, I'm a product of a lot of knee injuries, and I can assure you that if there was a way for me to take care of my body better, to take care of my, like, to not get rolled into, I would have done every single thing humanly possible to make sure that never happened again. But football's football, especially at this level. But the soft tissue injuries, like Tausch said, that's a product of many things. Overuse for sure is one of them. But then he said the second part was correct. Potentially not training the proper way that you should to get ready for what an NFL season brings as a running back in the NFL. Like, the running back position in the NFL is brutal. Mm-hmm. Like, it is very mm-hmm. brutal. If I were Marshawn Lloyd, I would be picking Jacob's brain as much as I possibly could, because that guy's a workhorse. He's done it. He's been he's won a rushing title in the league. Like, he's done all that. Like, the guy is a workhorse running back, so I'd be picking his brain as much as I could. Like, what do you do to keep your body fresh? What do you do to maintain your strength, all that stuff throughout a season? Because, like, obviously I'm struggling with it a little bit right now. I'm not saying the ankle injury. That's like mm-hmm. out of his control. Like, I don't even mm-hmm. count that. But the hammies and things like that, I'd be jumping in his back pocket to figure out what he does to maintain his level throughout a season.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Brian, the flip side of this, and I was texting with Dorsey Levins about this, because he was at the game on Sunday and watching Josh Jacobs. Look, running backs don't do this anymore, right? They don't get 32 carries in a game anymore. I mean, even Josh Jacobs, who, as Tausch accurately portrayed him as a workhorse back, that was the second most carries he's ever had in a game, and it's only the third time in his career that he's gone over 30 carries. So now you don't have a guy that you thought was going to be part of your rotation in Marshawn Lloyd. You also don't have, let's not forget, the guy who's doing, you know, viewing watch parties, trying to compete with the players only on his little Twitch channel, is A.J. Dillon is out for the year. So now it's Emmanuel Wilson and some guys you're carrying on the practice squad, that one of them you called up yesterday in Chris Brooks. How realistic is it to, for as long as Jordan Love is out, and that may only be this week, we can't even say that for certain, maybe he plays this week, how long can Josh Jacobs keep doing this, do you think?
You got to be careful. Like you honestly got to be careful. Because, listen, I get that game last week called for that type of workload. I mean, it was obvious. He was going to get 25 or more carries no matter what. It was going to happen. But that can't be a formula going forward because of the depth. And because, like you said it, Jason, backs don't do that anymore. That is not the modern-day NFL. And as good as shape as he in and as much as he can handle that workload, that's a lot of beating on someone, especially early on in the season. Like, if we were if we're in December and we're talking about this style of football, I would say, hey, we got to ride this thing out until the end of the season and let that guy do his thing. But, like, we're so early in this thing, you can't continue to see his touches over 25 carries for the next, like, 4 to 5 weeks, or you're going to run him into the ground. And the beating he's going to take is going to be significant. So, it's a tough spot the Packers are in, because obviously if Jordan Love's not in, we know what the game plan is. Like, the game plan is to focus around Jacobs, but you can't do that forever. You just can't do that forever, and you're going to play defenses that are able to play the run better than the Colts. Like, it's inevitably going to happen. Like, I think the Titans are probably better up front in the run game than the Colts were. So now you're going to see a little bit of a different defense that's ready for that type of game. Like, they got some studs up front that play on that D-line for the Titans. Like, they're going to be ready to go. So, like, I'm not saying the Packers can't do it. Like, they can play that style, but I don't think that's going to be good for him over the next 5 weeks to continue to play that way. Like, you're not going to have him in December, or you'll have him. I'm not saying he's going to get hurt.
Beat
you'll
down.
Have him. But he's not going to be the same guy that we're watching right now. And that's what you don't want when you're making your stretch run.
So, Blue, but how do you balance that then? Because you know if Jordan – and Jason Woolley does not think Jordan Love's playing. I kind of lean with him. I don't think he will either. You have to go to play to win the game. And this is the formula. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance that with – because I totally agree. If you're giving him 30-some carries a week, he's going to be worn out. And you need him in that stretch run for a playoff push and everything else. So how do you balance that with, isn't it every week stands on its own? You got to find a way to win, and then you figure it out the next week? Or is it, I got to do this, and then when Jordan comes back, maybe we'll dip his load a little bit, and maybe we'll mix in Emmanuel a little bit, and we'll throw it a little bit more. How do you balance that if you're the head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw a little bit of it last week with what he was doing with the wideouts in the backfield. We did it a bunch with Randall Cobb in the backfield. Randall Cobb ran the football for us. There were games where Cobb would get 5-6 touches a game just to take workload off certain guys and change things up and show different looks to a defense. So, like, I'm not saying we can rely on Reed or any of these guys being running back, so to speak, but you can scheme things up to take touches off of Jacobs with end-arounds, jet sweeps.
But, Blue, they did. You're right. They did that, and he still had all those touches.
Right.
You know, I get what you're saying.
I understand it. I mean, you're going to have to potentially put faith in the backup. You're going to have to at some point. Like, at some point, you just can't say, "Hey, Josh, by the way, Jordan's not coming back for another 2 weeks. So, guess what, buddy? 65 touches these next 2 weeks. Get ready for it." Like that. Like, it's just not realistic. And, like, I know we're trying to win every game one at a time, and then, like you said it, like, you worry about the next week. I get that. But, like, there's no one that knows it more than Goody and then LaFleur that, yes, we want to win these games now, and that sets us up for later on in the year. But the healthiest teams at the end always make a good run. They always do. Mm-hmm. If you're beat up at the end of the season and you don't got guys that can – go out there and potentially give you 25 to 30 touches in December, you got a hard road ahead of you to get there. So, like, I think the backups are going to have to be ready to play. And I'm not saying, like, the backups need 15 touches, right? Like, I'm not saying that at all. But, like, 8 to 10, give him a little bit of, you know, give him a little bit of a break on how many he's getting.
So, Blue, are you setting, like, you know, the old Randy Moss ratio? Are you putting a over-under where, all right, Josh Jacobs, I'm going to get him 22 and that's it? Do you do that, or is it that's too strict? How are you going to limit that? Because you know when the money's on the table, eight's going to be out there, and they're going to give him the ball if it's a close game. They're going to wear him out like that. So how do you do it if you're the coach?
Yeah. Well, you know, I get. I mean, I'm certainly not getting paid the salary to make that decision. So
I understand. I get it.
So, Blue, here's how I look at it. I'm wearing out Jacobs. Like, I am gonna.
Blue.
I'm gonna wear out Jacobs, and then I'm gonna hopefully give him a little break. He's got the bye coming up. I don't even know what week. But I got
why is it November?
Not even close. I understand. But guys, this is the formula. You brought Josh Jacobs in here to be a bell cow. You brought him in for this exact deal to take the load off of Jordan Love. And now he is the load. He is your recipe to win. So to sit and try to say, well, we're only going to give him 15 touches and we're going to give Emmanuel Wilson, you know, this, and we'll try to get this new guy
I'm
just signed.
15. I'm not saying 15.
But
I'm
if you don't take 15 off, Blue, he's going to be 25 plus carries.
I like 25 carries. 25 to 28 carries.
Okay, so there's three extra carries a week. That's the differentiator.
That's seven fewer than last week.
That's true.
Yeah, that's seven fewer. And that's seven fewer potential side shots.
Yeah.
You know, guys diving at his legs. Like, I look at this thing from, like, I guess I'm Jason in preseason, but I'm in it in the regular season. As many times as you could take hits off running backs, like, that's the way I look at it, because I've seen, like, I mean, and you know this, Tausch. I mean, you were in the offense early on, but, like, when Brett was there as well, like, you were a very run-heavy offense. You saw the beating that Green took.
Oh, Mon Green took.
And all, like you know that. Like, you get that. You understand that. And I wasn't really in an offense that featured the run, but I know
Blue, it's so much better. Brian, it's so much better when you have a tight end next to you and you're comboing with people and it's not just out in space. It's so much better. That's a story for another day. But I guess, but to, like, put a bow on this, you brought him in to be a bell cow. He's going to be a bell cow. You're not, and this sounds harsh, I want him healthy in December, but we got to get there. And he's going to be the key until Jordan's back. I'm wearing him out, and then I'm going to hope the bye comes at the good time and get him some rest. That's what I'm hoping for.
So I got a question, like, just before – I know we're going to have to go to break, but, like, even in Derrick Henry's peak days in Tennessee, when he was the – he was not even close to getting, like, an average of 30 touches a game, and that dude was an absolute – like, the epitome of a workhorse.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like, he was, and then we saw him later on in the year, and he was a completely different back in Tennessee, always dipped at the end of the year, which concerns me. That's the only thing that concerns me about it. So, like, I'm not saying Jacobs can't do it, but, like, you see that when that formula gets implemented early with teams, what happens to those guys towards the end? And that's what I'm worried about. That's the only thing I'm – my only point to that is, like – I get what you're saying, Tausch. We got to get to December 1st. Like, I am totally with you. But, like, I think everyone in that building, and we know it, this team, they're going to be where they need to be in December, most likely. Like, they're good. This is a good squad.
Yep.
And guys are going to have to pick up slack. That's what happens when you lose a stud QB for as much time. I'm hoping not too much longer, but guys got to pick up slack. And I don't know. I'm with you on I don't get paid for this type of decision making. But
Blue, but in the same respect, I understand. Listen, man, it's a conundrum because Jordan's out. This is a total conundrum.
Yeah, correct.
And if you're going to win games, Josh Jacobs got to be your guy with this offense. It's not.
Yep.
I know everybody's loving Malik Willis, and he did exactly what he needed to do.
But if you're going to lean on Malik Willis to win, if you need him to be more than what he was Sunday, I don't think it's going to end well. Now, I could be wrong. I don't.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So why are we not talking the same way about linebackers? Like Freddie Varner out in San Fran. You can't have him play 75 snaps. That's a physical position. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
well, we will. We'll talk a little bit.
But running backs don't touch the ball every play.
That's true. We will talk a little bit about this job sharing stuff, Jesse, because I am intrigued by that. Also, Brian, I don't know what else you have planned for today, but I'm telling you right now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about one more topic after this break.
Vomit.
We're going to take another break.
It's going to be vomit.
And then you're still going to be here. So let Abby and the kids are in school. I don't know what Abby has planned.
Go get a glass of wine.
You're going to be stuck here for a little while longer because this is a record. It's 9:59, and we haven't even taken the first break with you. So... Tausch is going to ensure carefully and dream
Packer
fearlessly.
Fans. Hey, Packer fans, you want to listen to Blue and I More? Well, you have the show to do it. And if you're looking for an ultimate game day experience, American Family Insurance has you covered. Picture this. Hit your very own VIP tailgate and then cheer on the Packers from jaw-dropping seats. No sound effect necessary. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win amazing game tickets, private tailgate, exclusive Jordan Love merch, and much, much more. That sounds incredible. Well, don't miss out. Visit amfam.com/Packers to enter. And you need to do it by the stroke of midnight on October 21st. See American Family Insurance for rules. Go again to amfam.com/Packers. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
Clearing Brian Bulaga's calendar to spend more time with us. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, all right, here's what we're going to do since we...
How about a Woj bomb? How about a Woj bomb? Deuces beat a Woj.
Huh? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Adrian Wojnarowski's retirement from ESPN.
Just what Bulaga was signing up for today.
Yes, exactly. And then we're going to talk Tottenham Hotspur soccer as well.
That's got to be such a what a brutal job that is. But yeah, him and Schefter and Patson, yeah. Like just constantly chasing that and having to be constantly on. I bet it's such a relief for Woj to retire today. I bet he's so relieved. Blue, does that not sound like just a miserably tough job?
Oh, you know what I don't like? The thing is, like, how much butt you got to kiss to get these stories out of these GMs? And, like, I mean, like, it literally an agent's, like, because, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you got to just be, like, schmoozing these guys 24-7 mm-hmm. so that they like you. And, like, no thank you. Like, it's just, it's, nah. Nope, yeah. Wouldn't want it.
I totally agree.
But I'm more than happy that someone does it because I love.
Yeah, when it's
you get
fun
that
to hear
notification that something happened.
Yes, sir.
It's great. Shefty and Rappaport. Like when these guys drop these big deals, like it's always fun to see or sure. You know. But I would never want to do it. I would never.
Yeah,
want
no,
to.
I'm lucky. I don't have to do that, and I just have to kiss your two butts, which is. Hazard pay enough when it comes to my job. All right, we're gonna continue with Brian. After Tausch
really
tells
weird quote from Wilde. Another
Tausch
weird
is,
quote.
All right, in fairness, Tausch is all over me just because I wrote based on a quote from LaFleur about body beautiful Eric Wilson.
Yeah. Hey Brian, he has went into great detail about how chiseled and cut up and I've never seen anyone like
that. It's not what I said.
You know, and I'm like, dude, relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax, Jason. Yeah, holy cats.
Not everyone can look like Grady Jackson. All right. But if you do look like Grady Jackson, Fortrea may have an opportunity for you to make some money.
What are you doing, man? I don't even know where to go with that. But if you... Fortrea's got you covered if you need a little cash in your pocket. They have studies right now. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Study 2 stays, 15 nights, 7 follow-ups. You make $13,820 bucks for your time and participation. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Tackle Talk with Brian Bulaga is next.
Let's go.
We'll see what he broke down from the film and what he's thinking about the Packers offense. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.